General Zelhovac, look into his eyes. The general whispered, Stephen Goldeneyes, and looked as Stephen removed his helmet. A look of almost comical alarm crossed the general's face. Then he was on his knees with his forehead in the dirt, begging Stephen's forgiveness.
Blessed one, we were just following King Alred's command,
he all but whined. General Zelhovac, return to your feet, Stephen commanded in an angry tone. I would like you to send a report of this incident to King Alred. The man we killed had also raped a young girl in the town of Korsat. He had a dozen followers and was impersonating me to use my status in an effort to rape and rob the people of Renedia. The general scrambled to his feet and bowed, then backed away as Stephen turned toward the mass of troops behind him. Return our weapons. Avandian royal guards always go armed. There was some hesitation from the Renedian troops, until their officers started shouting, Do it! Do it! Stephen bent over and retrieved his dragon's tongue from the private's hand, then followed the general. A young lieutenant opened the door and snapped to attention as Stephen passed, and he wasn't surprised when Karvik and Varric pushed in behind him. They found the general sitting at his desk, feverishly writing in his message book. It took half a span for the general to finish. Then he closed his book and looked at Stephen.
Blessed one, your message is sent.
Stephen smiled slightly.
General, you may simply call me Warmaster. No, why in the five hells do you let that crashing ass get away with calling you a runt, especially in front of your men?
And you, by comparison, Prince Stephen, please accept my apologies, Warmaster. That crashing ass, as you called him, is my little brother, Edrin.
The message book started flashing, and the general opened it. To Lord General Zelhovac, from King Alred. General Zelhovac, express our apologies to Prince Stephen. I should have known such an honorable man would never do the things you accused him of. Inform Prince Stephen that a proclamation making impersonating him a crime punishable by death is being drafted. As for the town of Rendan, you will personally escort our people back and give any aid they need, by my hand and in my name. Alfred Dahlgren Faran Zelbroldan, King of Renedia. And Vic, I know that fool brother of yours is somehow involved. Stephen looked at the general and grinned.
King Alred knows you.
The general sighed.
I was his captain when he first came to the army.
Stephen chuckled.
General, we would appreciate the hospitality of your fort for the night. That bastard spread a lot of bad feelings.
Indeed, Warmaster. My mess and barracks are open to you.
He looked behind Stephen and raised an eyebrow.
The leader of my escort, Major Karvik Kelkarin, and his second, Lieutenant Varric Kelhorval.
The general looked past them to the young lieutenant by the door.
Inform Colonel Kelnevran that we are having honored guests, and tell my brother and his friends to return to their inn. We'll escort them back to Rendan tomorrow.
The lieutenant bowed and said,
Sir, yes, sir,
then turned and left the room. The general stood and bowed deeply.
Warmaster, it will take some time to arrange a room suitable for you to stay in.
Stephen chuckled. So long as there's a bed that's fairly flat and reasonably soft, it will be fine, General Zelhovac. I'm a warrior of Kilcavan. I don't need anything fancy. The general looked unsure as he said,
Warmaster, you are a prince.
Stephen smiled and said,
General, I've been sleeping on the ground for the last 5 nights. Trust me. So long as it's flat and doesn't have any rocks in it, any bed will do.
The general bowed again.
As you wish, Warmaster. Is there anything else I can provide you?
We'll tend to our own horses, thank you, but afterward I need a bath.
Yes, Karvik agreed. We all do, General Zelhovac.
"'You tend to your own mount?'
the general asked in a husky tone.
"'It is the tradition of the warriors of Kilcavan, General, to see to our horses first, and only then to tend to our own needs,'
Varric supplied.
"'Warmaster Zelandral also chose, gentled and trained his horse, so they may act as one in the field. We all do. That is the Kilcavan tradition.'
The general fixed a withering glare on Varric.
"'You speak out of turn, young man. And how is it that a Kilhorval became a lieutenant so young?'
Stavin said, "'By saving the life of Princess Charindis, Prince Carlin, Princess Sarin, and Princess Marin by direct action.'
Carvick continued, "'Any royal guard who, by his direct action, saves a member of the royal family is promoted to lieutenant. Prince Stephen and his commission saving King Keelin from an assassin.'
"'And you, Major?'
the general asked. Carvick bowed his head.
"'I had achieved the rank of War Leader Third before becoming part of the Evandian Royal Guard. It was judged that Major was the closest equivalent rank.'
"'I've heard your name before, Major Kilcarin, usually in association with Stephen Dragonblessed.'
The general looked at Stephen.
"'There was only 1 year when Carvick wasn't by my side, General.'
The general bowed.
"'I will escort you to your horses and give the appropriate orders. War Master?'
he said as he bowed again toward the door. Stavin led the way out and returned to True's side, gentling her nose for a moment before following the general to the stables. It only took a moment to tend their mounts, and Stavin allowed the general to order the stable hands to tend to the pack horses. Once the horses were seen to, the general led them all to the fort bathhouse.
"'War Master,'
he said with a bow,
"'I leave you to your bath while I make arrangements for the rest of your stay, and have a word with my brother.'
Stavin bowed and said, "'Thank you, General.' With that the general left, and Stavin headed for a tub. He said,
"'Everyone bathe quickly. I still don't feel very safe here.'
Carvick agreed.
"'Last 10 men stay dressed and armed until relieved. Everyone armors up and stands ready once you're clean. I'd prefer to avoid killing anyone, so use your fists and feet if you can.'
Stavin and Carvick were the first to finish, and both of them obeyed their own orders. They relieved two of the guards and joined the men guarding the door. Most of the men had finished bathing before the door burst open, and 4 men rushed through, shouting,
"'You bastards!'
Carvick met them with his sheathed sword and dropped 2 of them to the floor, while the other guards used their armored fists. 2 of the guardsmen grabbed Stavin under his arms, lifted him from the floor, and hauled him back behind the tubs. Just a breath behind the attackers came a 12 Renadian soldiers.
"'Prince Stephen, blessed one, are you all right?'
the only officer bellowed.
"'I am,'
Stavin replied as he shook off the guardsmen.
"'Who are they, and how in the 5 hells did they get in here?'
The officer bowed and explained.
"'They are from Rendan. General Zelhovac called all of the survivors here to announce that you'd killed the impostor, but some of them were sure you were the man who wronged them and wanted revenge.'
General Zelhovac shoved his way forward, only to run into a wall of flesh named Varric Kilhorval.
"'That's close enough, General.'
"'Stand aside!'
the general snapped, but Varric held his ground.
"'With all the respect due to your rank,' Lord General Zelhovac. No.
Prince Stephen!
Stephen walked forward, but stopped a full pace behind Varric.
Lord General Zelhovac,
he began in a soft voice,
I was just attacked in your fort. Decide what you will tell His Majesty when you beg his forgiveness.
The general's face went pale.
I beg your forgiveness, War Master.
He bowed deeply and remained that way until Stavin spoke.
"'Very well, General, I'll forgive you. Now you may deal with those men,'
he waved at the ground with a dismissive gesture,
"'while my men finish bathing.'
It was obvious that the general was not used to taking orders, but he bowed and said,
"Yes, War Master,"
as Stephen walked away. The general glared at Varric and snarled,
"You overstepped yourself, Lieutenant."
Varric bowed and said, "When it comes to my brother-in-law's safety, I fear no man more than I fear my sister. She's really mean." He nodded toward the men on the ground. "I think you know that he doesn't want you to kill them, sir. Just keep them locked away until we leave in the morning."
"Brother-in-law, your sister. So the members of the royal family you saved are members of your own family as well?"
Varric bowed. "They are, Lord General Zell Horvac." "Are you familiar with the song about blind Prince Shari and the assassins?"
"I am."
"That was the incident in question." He smiled proudly. "Prince Stephen allowed me to use his dragon's tongue that season and the next. I killed one man with Prince Stephen's dragon's tongue, while Shari killed two men with her walking staff."
"While blind? That really happened?"
"I told you, sir, she's mean and dangerous. Prince Stephen's big sister Sarandis killed the fourth man with a tea service." The general whispered,
"Gods above."
Varric grinned and bowed. "The only people the men of Cavenston fear are the women of Cavenston." With that he bowed again, then turned away and waited for his turn to bathe with the last of the guardsmen. Behind him, the general was directing his men to haul away the attackers. Stephen and his men were given the entire top floor of the officers' quarters. Karvik split the men into just two reinforced teams and had everyone sleep in their armor. Still, it was many spans before first light when Stephen got up and joined his men.
"Prince Stephen,"
one of the chosen guardsmen asked,
"what are you doing up so early?"
"Bad dreams. I'll be glad to show my back to this place."
The man nodded and resumed his watch, while Stephen wandered around the rooms. His men were either asleep or on watch, except one. Eldik Zeldkaren was standing at a window, looking at the eastern sky.
"In a hurry to get home, Eldik?"
Stephen asked softly.
"No, sir. Just in a hurry to get out of here."
"You know the saying about watched pots, Eldik. Aren't you supposed to be asleep?"
Eldik shook his head.
"Couldn't, Prince Stephen. Kept waking up thinking someone was attacking us. I never thought we'd be attacked inside a fort."
Stephen nodded and patted the younger man's shoulder, then moved on. It seemed just moments later that word was passed to all the men. First light. Everyone got up and saw to their needs, then got dressed. Only when every man was fully armored and armed did Karvik give the order.
"Head outside!"
They made quite a racket as they pounded down the wooden stairs. But after the events of the previous day, they didn't care. Someone had been watching them, because Lord General Zell Horvac and his officers were waiting outside.
"War Master Zell Andral, I wish you'd stay another day. There is so much we'd like to ask you."
Stephen shook his head minimally.
"No, General, we need to be on our way."
Just then a shaft of sunlight slipped between two buildings and illuminated Stephen. All around them men fell to their knees as if Stephen was Arendar the Bright himself. Raising his right hand, Stephen said,
"Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls."
Then he mounted True and led the way out the gate. The city was barely even stirring as they made their escape from a fort and town they had never even learned the name of. Stephen led the way out of the town in a pensive mood. General Zell Horvac had done his best, but there were still rumors circulating about the Blessed One raping young girls and confiscating towns. He didn't realize that he was pushing True so hard until Karvik asked,
"Are we in a hurry?"
Stephen looked at him and nodded.
"I want to put Renadia behind us, Car. The truth will eventually make it as far as the rumors, but the rumors have gone farther, faster."
Karvik nodded.
"Unfortunately, We're supposed to have another 10 days of travel before we reach the Kavadian border.
Stavin was looking down the road as he said,
Let's see if we can trim a little off that.
Chapter 29 3 days later they passed through a town and found that the rumors had made it there first. Doors slammed and shutters were bolted as soon as they were recognized. Stavin hardly slowed down. There didn't seem to be any reason to. The same greeting awaited them at two more towns, but the last town before the border was another fort. Stavin decided to stop because he really didn't have much choice. They were out of food for themselves and their horses. Fort Zell Borondil was typical for an army town. The road ran straight past the gates of the fort, but they had been in town for two spans before they reached them. Stavin led his men straight into the compound and reined true to a stop as men of every rank scrambled to their stations. A young-looking general came out of his office, still fastening the buttons of his blouse. A harried-looking young lieutenant was right behind him with a baldrican sword. The general somehow managed to be fully dressed by the time he reached Stavin.
"Blessed one! Welcome to Fort Zell Borondil. I am Lord General Dothan Zell Alamar."
Stavin bowed his head.
"I am pleased to meet you, General. We won't impose on you for very long."
The general seemed startled for an instant, then said,
"It's no imposition, blessed one."
Stavin bowed his head again.
"Thank you. Could you direct me to an honest trading house?"
"Blessed one,
we need supplies for our horses and ourselves."
The general bowed deeply.
"My storekeepers will see to your resupply, blessed one."
Stavin shook his head.
"Thank you, General, but I would prefer to leave your supplies alone. I'll bargain with a local house for our supplies."
The general took a breath to argue, but the lieutenant behind him whispered something that made the general simply nod.
"As you wish, blessed one. My supply officer will escort you to the merchant's quarter."
A young female lieutenant came forward and bowed.
"I am Lieutenant Zephara Kelborondil. If you will please follow me, I'll escort you to the Traders Guild compound."
Stavin shared a glance with Karvik, then looked back at the lieutenant and nodded. She bowed and turned away and started walking. Stavin nudged True with his knees, and she followed the lieutenant out of the gates. Lieutenant Kelborondil walked halfway across the town before leading Stavin and his men into what amounted to a secondary fort. High palisade walls of thick timbers surrounded a large complex of trading houses, and armed men in no discernible uniform patrolled the tops of those walls. Lieutenant Kelborondil led Stavin to a large building with the bundled sheaves of the grain merchants over the door. Several master traders rushed out as the lieutenant stopped.
"Zephara, is there a problem?"
the trader in the lead asked. She bowed and replied,
"No, Uncle Alvar. No problem. I am pleased to introduce the Blessed of Arendar the Bright, Prince Stavin Zell Andral of Ivandia. He is in need of supplies for his journey home."
All three men transferred their attention to Stavin, then went to their knees.
"Are you truly the Blessed One?"
one of the men asked. Stavin bowed in the saddle.
"I am. And you?"
The lieutenant bowed and said,
"Blessed One, this is my Uncle Vander, my Uncle Tandon, and my Uncle Alvar, all of Clan and House Zelbarindel."
Karvik kneed his horse forward and stopped beside Stavin.
"Is the fort named for a member of your clan, lords?"
All three men exchanged glances before Alvar answered.
"The fort is named Zell Borondil because this is the Borondil estate. Clan Zell Borondil settled here in the early days of the Empire of Luxand, and we've been here, guarding Renedia's border since then."
Karvik bowed in the saddle.
"Thank you, Lord. I appreciate the information."
Lord Alvar returned his attention to Stavin.
"How may we serve you, blessed one?"
Stavin had pulled his vest out of his saddlebag, and now he put it on.
"We are in need of supplies. 50 bags of green, 10 weight of dried meat, 5 of cheese, 5 of carver beans."
He paused and flashed a grin at Karvik.
and an assortment of fruit preserves, 3 jars of each kind you have.
Then Stavin smiled and bowed his head slightly.
Who will I be bargaining with?
The traders looked confused. Lord Alvar said, Blessed one, Prince Stephen, you are the hero of Renidia. All of this is yours for the asking.
Stavin shook his head. While I appreciate what King Alred and the royal family did for me, I pay my own freight. Blessed one, the lieutenant said in a barely audible tone, let us give you this. It is our honor.
Karvik looked at Stavin and nodded. It's the honor to be of service to the hero of Renidia. You know that. You'd feel the same if the situation was reversed.
Stavin bowed deeply to the traders. If you feel that my bargaining and paying for my supplies would be an offense to your honor, then I will accept the supplies and give you my thanks.
All 3 traders looked relieved, as did the lieutenant.
She said, Thank you, blessed one, as she bowed.
The traders had their men bring the grain and other goods from the warehouses. It turned out that the Zelborendil trading house dealt in all kinds of goods. Less than a span after they arrived, all the pack horses were loaded, and Stavin bowed to the master traders.
I offer you my gratitude for your assistance.
He paused and raised his hand.
Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls.
The traders, masters and laborer alike, fell to their knees and bowed their heads as Stavin led his men out of the traders' compound. It took another full day to reach the Cavadian border, and, as expected, there was a border station on the Renadian side. What wasn't expected was the border station and guards on the Cavadian side. Stavin rode to the border crossing slowly, as men and women bowed or went to their knees as soon as they saw him. At the border, there was a simple pivot arm across the road that marked the crossing. 5 armed men in what appeared to be Traders Guild guards' uniforms stood shoulder to shoulder across the road. The man in the center announced, There is a 5% tax on all goods entering Cavadia by order of the Cavadian Traders Guild Master Council. Stavin heaved a massive sigh and muttered, Serves me right. Reaching back, he pulled out his vest and shrugged it into place. Riding forward, he said,
I am Master Trader Stephen of the Cavadian House of Kul'aniston. We are only carrying supplies for ourselves and our animals. We have no trade goods.
The guards were looking uncomfortable. The leader asked, You're him, aren't you? The Dragon Blessed? The Blessed of Arendar? Stavin nodded as he said, I am.
I am also the one who negotiated the treaty between Renidia, Cavadia, Luxandia, Caravia, and Evandia, establishing these crossing stations.
Yes, sir, we know that. Your tax will be 2.5%.
Stavin was chuckling as he nudged True forward. The guards were watching the horses closely as they passed. The lead guard came to True's side and bowed.
Master Stavin, we estimate the value of your goods at 3 gold and 6 silver crowns.
I told you they are not trade goods. They are just our supplies.
The man bowed again.
Yes, Master Stephen, but the guild says all goods, not just trade goods.
Stavin grumbled as he brought out his purse.
2.5% of 36 silver crowns is, let me see, 9 sparks.
He handed over 1 silver crown.
You owe me a spark.
The guard bowed and backed away until he reached their little shack. Someone inside took the silver coin and handed back 1 dark copper coin. The guard returned to Stavin's side and handed the coin up. Stavin took the spark and dropped it into his pouch, then kneed True forward. The border guards all stood back as Stavin increased his pace to a canter. Once they were clear of the border by about 10 dragons, he slowed down. Karvik rode up to his side and asked,
What was that all about?
Stavin shrugged.
At a guess, someone anticipated the agreement between the kingdoms.
or an enterprising thief has set up shop as a tax collector.
Karvik looked back and shook his head.
And there is no one to ask between here and Aravat.
Nope.
Chapter 30. The far eastern reaches of Cavadia were bordered by a line of hills that were called mountains, but only by the locals. None of them were even as tall as the stump of Kelcavin, but they served as an impediment to travel as well as marking the border. The road showed the lack of maintenance that resulted from not having a king. Ruts, washed-out places, and fallen trees were a constant problem, though it looked like someone had passed not too long before them, as no fallen trees blocked the road. The ride up into the hills was accompanied by the songs of birds and the buzz of insects. It was also a reason to maintain a state of heightened alert for the guards. Cavadia was bad enough. Cavadian hills, covered with thick forest, were worse. Karvik moved Stavin back 10 men over his objections.
It's Cavadia, Steve.
I know that, Car. How many times have we been attacked in Cavadia? But look at us, he said, as he waved his hand in a circle. 34 armed men. How many bandits are fool enough to attack a small army?
All it takes is one.
Stavin grumbled, but let Karvik have his way. It took 3 days to cross the hills, and they saw no sign of anyone. They did find convenient camping spots near water sources that had obviously been established for trade caravans. They were each big enough for a 20-wagon caravan to circle their wagons and spend the night. Karvik shook his head at the first one.
"Looks like your friends in the Traders Guild have been busy for a long time."
Stavin nodded as he walked around.
"Arlik told me that the Guild has always done all it can to make these roads trade-friendly. These camps have been in service for hundreds of years. Each is about a day's travel by wagon from the next."
Karvik looked around, but ended up shaking his head.
"We'll water the horses and refill our bottles, but I think it's too early to stop for the night."
Stavin said, "Agreed," and started seeing to True's needs. Their fourth day on the road, such as it was, led them down into a pleasant valley that opened onto the plains. The valley was filled with oddly square meadows and suspiciously straight streams. Stavin held his hand up and Karvik moved up beside him.
"What's wrong?"
Stavin shook his head as he continued to look around.
"These lands were settled at one time."
Karvik looked around and nodded.
"A long time ago. Cavadia was a well-populated province of the Empire. Look over there," he said, pointing at some mounds in the distance. "Those could be stone foundations."
Stavin looked and had to agree. "And a stone wall over here. I'd guess 20 or 30 farms. Karvik leaned forward to look at Stavin's face and asked,
"What's bothering you?" "This isn't the first time we've ridden through an abandoned settlement."
Stavin nodded.
"Yes, we've seen this before. But this one feels special for some reason. Something horrible happened here, Car."
"Oh? Are you certain?"
Stavin turned toward Karvik with a haunted expression on his face and nodded.
"Someone did something so horrible that it left an indelible taint on these lands."
"Can you tell what?"
"No. I just have a sick-to-my-stomach feeling that gets worse the farther we go into this valley."
The guardsmen all moved forward to surround Stavin as they continued down into the valley. It was getting dark when they found the remains of a town that had once spanned the road. The overgrown ruins of buildings lined both sides of a wide avenue, and indications of side streets extended out into the countryside. The road widened abruptly around a copse of trees, and Karvik sent 5 men forward to investigate. They reported back moments later.
"Major Kalkaran, there's a well in the center of the trees, and there's a new bucket and rope on the winch. Someone has obviously been using it."
Stavin was looking around suspiciously with his shoulders hunched. Turning to Karvik, he said,
"No one drink from the well. We'll give some to a pack horse first and see if it's safe."
Karvik shook his head slowly. No, Steve, remember. I have the food taster spells on me. I'll take a sip and see if it's safe.
Car, I don't want to risk your life.
You aren't, and you decide this now? Stavin sighed deeply.
We're on the road home, Car. Very well. It's getting dark anyway, so set camp. We'll go to the well and see if it's safe.
Karvik looked around and said, You heard him. Set camp. If the water is safe, we'll start a bucket brigade to bring water to the horses.
Stavin let Karvik lead the way between the trees. The well was in good repair and showed that someone had been maintaining it. Stavin looked at the bucket and grunted in surprise.
Huh! I think we're all right, Car. Look!
He pointed at the glyph on the side of the bucket. It took Karvik a moment to see what Stavin had seen, but he finally nodded.
The glyph of Zel'Kordal. I'm still checking it first.
Agreed, Stavin sighed. No sense getting poisoned now.
Karvik looked the bucket over carefully before dropping it into the well. It fell a surprisingly short distance, and it only took 23 turns of the crank to bring it back up. Karvik smelled the water first, then took a scant spoonful into his mouth. A few breaths later he nodded and swallowed.
It's fine. It's a little woody tasting, but nothing to worry about.
Stavin took a sip and swished it around in his mouth for a moment, then spit.
It's cold and wet. That's all I care about right now.
He finally took a full drink and sighed.
That's good.
He walked to the edge of the trees and said,
Bring buckets!
Each man grabbed a collapsible canvas and leather bucket and headed toward the trees while Stavin returned to Karvik's side. The discipline of their youth had the whole group, Stavin and Karvik included, filling and carrying water to the horses first. Only when each man had seen to his mount and pack horse did any of them see to their own needs. A final trip brought water to replenish their personal water bottles. Stavin grinned at Karvik and received a laugh in reply.
Yeah,
was all Stavin needed to say. Karvik's expression remained one of amused tolerance. The meal was typical for the men. Beans boiled with a ham bone. Stavin ate with his men, relaxing and just being himself. With these men, at least, he had no need of pretense. Night fell, and everyone except the sentries went to bed early. Stavin fell into a deep sleep almost instantly, but found himself standing in the road, looking around at the town. It looked like any farm community from the kingdoms he knew. The buildings around the well were well kept and painted in strong browns and whites. One building stood two stories high, and on the balcony rail hung the glyph of Eshokanal. Stavin felt his skin chill, as if even here in his dreams the evilest one was watching him. The feeling of disquiet Stavin felt intensified for a moment, then passed as quickly as it had come. Turning, he saw the people going about their everyday business and not paying any attention to him. The well drew him, exerting a pull that his dream self couldn't resist. As he drew near, he saw that there were glyphs carved into the white top layer of stones. He read them without stopping to think. Dedicate your life to Eshokanal and drink freely of his bounty. Stavin stepped back and struggled against the sudden compulsion to utter words of praise to the evilest one. As his mouth opened, he twisted sideways and, sat up in his tent, panting for breath, he whispered,
Gods above!
The sentry bent over and asked, War master? Stavin shook his head and replied,
Just a dream. Carry on.
The sentry said, Very well, sir, then returned to his post. Stavin lay back down and stared at the peak of his tent. He knew this road was ancient, but he hadn't suspected that it dated to the days of Vashkan, or that ancient Vashkan had stretched this far east or north. Thinking back to his dream vision, he was sure the town had been part of Vashkan. He knew from his studies that Lux had expanded across the southern reaches of the Brondian continent before expanding north into Renadia. Cavadia hadn't been settled until Lux had completely assimilated Renadia, and that hadn't happened until Caravia had been pacified. More old lessons surfaced as his mind wandered. He remembered the lesson of how Lux had come into Caravia as conquerors, and had to fight a civil war because of it. That made more sense now. Lux hadn't just annexed empty territory. They had attacked and conquered Vashkan. The warriors of Vashkan must have fought against them with everything they had. How could Lux defeat the warrior culture of Vashkan? Stavin tried to go back to sleep as his dream faded, but the adrenaline in his system kept him awake. Something happened here that is still resonating. Something that destroyed this town and is keeping it from being rebuilt. He lay awake until the sentry said, "First light, War Master!" Staving crawled out and put on his armor, letting the sentry fasten his last buckles, then headed for the fire. He wasn't surprised to find Karvik already there. Karvik handed him a hot cup of kava. "Ready to go?" he asked. "Not yet, Kar. I want a better look at that well." Karvik nodded, then added, "After we get more light, I want every horse to get a full bucket of water as well before we leave." Stavin looked over his shoulder at the trees, then walked over and collected his food. They still had enough pork bacon for every man to have a slice, but that was the only meat they had left except for some bones for the beans. Stavin savored his bacon, eating slowly for a change, then looked at Karvik and said, "I want all of our men who have bows ready to bring down anything they can for meat." Karvik sighed. "That's just 6 men, Steve, and all chosen. We talked about it during the ride through the hills. Eldik says we're too noisy to let them hunt while we're together." "Then we'll have them go ahead," Stavin concluded. "We'll send them on their way as soon as they eat, so they can start hunting while we check out the well. Have them leave their pack horses behind." Karvik nodded as he stuffed the last bite of his meal into his mouth, then washed his plate. He walked over to where the men were eating and said, "You men with bows are going hunting. The rest of us are going to be following about 2 spans behind you. Leave your pack horses with us. If you kill anything, wait for us by the road." All 6 men said, "Yes, Major," then started getting ready. Less than half a span later, they were on the road. Stavin watched them go, then looked toward the trees. "I think it's light enough to go to the well, Kar." Karvik nodded and headed for the trees. So did all of their men, buckets in hand. Stavin stopped short when he saw the well. He whispered, "That's wrong. There should be one more course of stones, white ones with glyphs on them."
"How do you know?"
Karvik whispered.
"My dream. Why are you whispering?"
"Because you are," Karvik answered.
Stavin looked startled and whispered,
"Because I'm..."
He paused and shook his head, then continued in a normal voice.
"Point Mead. In my dream there was a top course of stones engraved with ancient glyphs."
"What did they say?"
Karvik asked as he looked at the well.
"Dedicate your life to Esho and drink freely of his bounty."
Karvik exclaimed,
"What?"
loudly, making everyone look at him. Stavin shook his head.
"Don't ask me to say it again."
He turned and pointed.
"In my dream there was a temple of the evilest one right over there, and when I read the glyphs, they put me under a compulsion to do just that. I had to wake up to break it."
Karvik was looking around suspiciously.
"If that's... that means this town was part of Vashkan."
"Yes, and it has been abandoned since Lux annexed this part of Cavadia over 2,000 years.
Stavin had been kicking at the undergrowth and finally found a white stone. He knelt beside it and pried it out of the ground, then he used his fingers to brush away some of the dirt and recognized the glyph for praise.
"This is proof, Kar. I don't want to stay here any longer. Let's water the horses and go. The hunters should be far enough ahead by now."
Karvik nodded and started giving orders. In less than a span, everyone was mounted and in formation. Stavin led off without saying anything, so Karvik joined him. Behind them, their men formed into two columns to continue their journey home. Stavin was lost in thought as he rode. How far did Vashkan extend? He wondered yet again. The Book of Inatat didn't contain a map, and the arm and foot measurements were so vague none of them could convert it. Master Kelzorgan had theorized that an arm was half what they called a span. But how long was a foot? Everyone's feet were different lengths. He was ever so grateful that Dandar Shandrake had given them the distance and time measurements they were familiar with. One finger was obvious. One hand was four fingers. One cubit was four hands. One pace was two cubits. One span was five cubits. One dragon was 153 cubits. It was so simple. Time was just as simple. A span was the time it took for the sun to travel one finger width across the sky. A hand was four fingers. A day was sunrise to sunrise. A moon was 28 days, and a year was 13 moons plus the 11 days of the midwinter festival. He finally just shook his head and started looking around again. There were still remnants of farms around them. Whatever the town had been called, it had been large. The valley had opened out into the plains just a double hand of dragons past the town, and the level road let them pick up their pace. They had been traveling for more than half the day when Karvik spotted a horse by the road. Soon a man in their uniform stood and waved. Karvik was the first to speak.
"Pravit Zelbordan, report."
"Sir, the rest took off after a wounded pronghorn. I was detailed to wait here for you."
Stavin nodded and said,
"Very well. We'll wait here for the hunters."
Karvik shouted,
"Guards, dismount!"
as he swung down himself. Stavin was looking around.
"Is there water by those trees?"
"Yes, Prince Stephen," the private answered. "That's where we spotted the animals. It's just a trickle, but the horses all drank their fill before they went after the pronghorns."
Stavin looked at Karvik, then led True toward the trees. The water was clear, and after Karvik had given the nod, Stavin drank as well. The water was warm, but tasted better than the well water had. Stavin dumped his water bottle and rinsed it out, then refilled it from the stream. All around him his guardsmen were doing the same. Stavin stood and looked around, then voiced his thoughts.
"I wonder how the hunt is going."
Eldik, as the highest ranking of the privates, socially at least, took the lead as soon as they left the group.
"Kartal, you're the best shot, so you take point. We'll follow about a dragon behind you."
Kartal nodded and urged his mount forward a little faster, then dropped back to a walk. He was scanning both sides of the road for signs of life, but nothing was moving. Soon the heat and slow clopping of his horse's hooves were lulling him into a light doze. It was then that he saw something move on the north side of the road. Mastering his own reaction and resisting the urge to twist in his saddle, he looked north without turning his head. There, along a line of trees, were seven pronghorns. Their tan and black coats would have hidden them in dry scrub brush, but against the green of the trees they were all too obvious. He rode on until they seemed to be getting restless, then twisted in the saddle, drew his bow, and let fly an arrow in one fluid motion. The pronghorns broke and ran as soon as he moved, and the big male he'd been aiming for eluded his arrow. A female wasn't so lucky. She ran right into the arrow's path. He saw the arrow strike her in the side, but she gave no sign of it except to stumble a little. Kartal stopped his horse until they were well away, then dismounted and walked over to where the animals had been. There was a spray of blood on the grass, and when he found his arrow it was completely covered. The sound of trickling water drew him, and he pushed through the trees and brush to find a small stream flowing by. That explained the animals and trees. He let his horse drink, then had some for himself. The sound of horses made him turn and wave. The rest of the guardsmen joined him but remained silent. Looking up at Eldric, he nodded.
"I hit a pronghorn doe. Wasn't aiming at her, but she ran right into the arrow's path."
Eldik nodded. How solid was your hit?
Low in the chest, just before the gut.
Eldik nodded. Shouldn't take long, then. Someone stay here so the rest don't pass us by. We'll track down the pronghorn and bring it back.
Kartal pointed to the trees and said, There's a stream, good-tasting water, a lot better than that well.
Everyone dismounted and went to the stream, drinking their fill right beside their horses. In a few moments, Eldik silently mounted and took Kartal's reins while Kartal started tracking his kill on foot. The chase turned out to be a long one. The blood tapered off until all of them had to dismount and search for it. They had walked deep into the countryside, and after a time found the ruins of a large structure. Eldik held up his hand to stop the others and walked forward alone. He traced the outer foundations, then looked at the straight lines that must have been interior walls. The building must have been a chosen family manor, judging by the size of it. Looking around, he saw mounds where he would have expected to find barns and assorted outbuildings. Movement made him turn back toward the rest of the men and point. Everyone turned and headed toward where he had pointed, and they converged on one mound in particular. As soon as they did, the pronghorns broke cover. Kartal ran forward and rounded the mound to find the doe struggling to rise. He drew his sword and slashed down behind her head, severing her spine. Then he cut her throat to bleed her out. Eldik was at his shoulder in an instant. "Well done, Kartal," he said, as he patted the younger man's shoulder. "Very well done. We'll finish dressing her out." Kartal nodded and stepped back. He was looking around, exploring the ruins, when a glint of sunlight off something in the dust caught his eye. It took him a moment to find it, but he eventually pulled a jewel-encrusted golden necklet out of the dirt. He used his water bottle to rinse it off, then walked back to the others.
"Look at this!" he said excitedly. "That's beautiful," one man said, while another asked, "Where'd you find it?"
Kartal answered their questions, and soon only he and Eldik remained by the animal. Eldik reached over and ran one finger across the back of Kartal's treasure. He whispered,
"Someone died wearing this."
"What do you mean?" Kartal asked.
Eldik pointed.
"It's uneven. This side should be a finger longer and have a clasp. Mum had several necklets of this style that have been handed down for generations. It's cut in the right place to have been around someone's neck when she was cut down with a sword."
Kartal whispered, "Gods above, I wonder what else happened here."
Eldik shook his head. "Probably something bad, but that was a long time ago, and we have something to do right now." Looking around, he raised his voice and snapped, "Mount up!" All the men returned to their horses immediately. The pronghorn had been quartered, and four different men tied the quarters on their saddles. Kartal's horse was loaded with the head, with the heart, liver, and kidneys wrapped in the hide. The ride back to the road went quickly. Just three spans of easy riding returned them to the trees to find the rest of the group waiting. The return of the hunters so late in the day made up Stavin's mind for him.
"We'll camp here and have some fresh meat. The water in that stream is going to be welcome in the morning."
"It'll be welcome tonight as well," Karvik said. "I'm going to wash."
Stavin and the rest of their men were nodding their agreement as they fetched their buckets. Having no one to be bashful around, let every man strip down, except Varric and his team. At Stavin's questioning look, he said,
"When another team is dressed again?"
It didn't take long for everyone to bathe. Even warmed by the sun, the water was too cold for anything but a quick sponge off. Still, everyone was feeling much better by the time the meat was cooked. Kartal brought the necklet out and showed everyone what he'd found. When he showed it to Stavin, he said,
"Prince Stavin, there's something engraved inside it, but I can't read it. Would you try?"
Stavin looked at the underside of the jewelry and tilted his head to the side.
"It's in ancient glyphs, but they're done very elaborately. Like what you'd expect to see on a..."
He paused to chuckle.
like you'd expect to see on something that was being presented to someone. Let's see. I read it as, "For my darling Jerlene on your ascension from youth to woman." Someone gave this to his daughter when she turned 20.
Kartal timidly pointed at the back and said,
"Eldik thinks she was cut down with a sword. It's damaged right there."
Stavin looked at it carefully, then nodded.
"He may be right."
Stavin thought for a moment, then said,
"I'll buy it from you."
Kartal looked at his prince and said,
"With all due respect, Prince Stavin, not a chance."
He shook his head and grinned.
"No amount of gold could offset what my girlfriend would do to me. She reaches her majority just after midwinter, and while her name isn't anything like Jerlene, she'll no doubt be pleased just the same. You see, she's a scholar like you. The fact that it's so old will make it even more precious."
Stavin slapped him on the shoulder and said,
"Good man, the love of a good woman is worth more gold than the world holds."
It took two more days to reach a real modern Cavadian town. It was located on a large plain, and they could see it for many spans before they reached it. The gates were closed, but that was to be expected. This was, after all, Cavadia. They stopped well short of the city walls, and only Varric rode forward. He was still more than a dragon from the gates when a voice shouted,
"That's close enough! State your business!"
Varric shouted back his answer as he'd been coached.
"Master trader Stephen of House Cull Aniston seeks an inn for the night." "Of what guild?"
the voice shouted back.
"Cavadian. Master Stephen is a member of the Aravad Traders Council." "Why does Master Stephen need so many guards?"
a different voice asked.
"Because he is also Prince Stephen of Evandia, Minister of Trade." "Come forward with your hands in plain sight,"
the first voice commanded. Once he was just a few horse lengths from the gates, a small, man-sized door opened, and a man stepped out.
"Introduce yourself,"
the man commanded. Varric bowed his head slightly.
"I am Lieutenant Varric Kelhorval of the Evandian Royal Guard, Senior Sergeant of Kelcavan."
The man looked at him suspiciously.
"Is it true about Prince Stephen, that he's the blessed of Arendar the Bright?"
Varric nodded.
"Yes, it's true, though he prefers to be addressed as Prince Stephen or Warmaster Zelandral."
The man looked past Varric and said,
"Please invite Prince Stephen forward while I have the gates opened."
At Varric's nod, he turned away and went back through the door. Varric rode back and reported everything to Stephen and Karvik. Stavin nodded, then said,
"Let's go."
The entire group rode forward in formation. The gates were open, so they rode straight through. A crowd stopped them just inside the town. A tall woman stood a pace in front of the rest, and she bowed when Stavin reined true to a stop.
"Prince Stephen, Master of House Cull Aniston, welcome to Prairie Home. I am Mayor Juliana Zelbeardan."
She paused to bow deeply once again.
"Behind me are the members of our council."
She paused and glanced back before continuing.
"Along with just about everyone else who lives here."
Stavin bowed in the saddle before replying,
"I am pleased to meet you, Mayor Zelbeardan. We are seeking an inn for the night."
The mayor gestured to the side.
"Be welcome in our inn."
Stavin nodded and turned true toward the building. The sign proclaimed it the Leaping Frog, and showed a frog flying through the air. On the porch a man came forward and bowed.
"Prince Stephen, I am Norbert Zelbeardan, owner and innkeeper of the Leaping Frog."
Stephen looked at the mayor and got a slight bow in return.
"My husband."
Stephen bowed his head.
"I am pleased to meet you. I need a room for myself and rooms for 22 of my men. The rest will be on watch."
Norbert bowed deeply.
"At once, Prince Stephen. If you would care to have a seat, my girls will bring you refreshments."
Stephen smiled slightly and shook his head.
"We have to see to our horses first. Where is your stable?"
the mayor said. Surely your men will see to your horse.
They would if I asked, Stephen agreed. But it is our tradition to see to our own mounts. Besides, True gets testy if she doesn't get enough attention.
Stephen scratched True's neck and asked,
Don't you, girl?
The mayor bowed, then led the way around the inn. There was only room for 6 horses in the stable, but the paddock was big enough for the rest. Stephen led True into the stable and put her into a stall, then saw to her needs. He was aware of the mayor watching him, but he took his time. When all the horses were fed and watered, and at least rubbed down if not curried, Stephen walked over to the mayor. Bowing his head, he said,
Thank you.
It is our honour, Prince Stephen. Would you care for something to drink? No.
Stephen nodded and went to a table that let him put his back against the wall. Karvik, Varric, and Sergeant Zelfordan joined him. When the mayor came to his side, Stephen said,
Won't you join us, Mayor Zelbeardan?
She smiled and replied,
Actually, Prince Stephen, I'm here to take your order. My daughters Karasan and Julasan will serve your men.
Stephen smiled and said,
Beer for all of us.
The mayor smiled and bowed slightly before turning away. She returned moments later with heavy, capped tankards. Stephen looked at the tankards and asked,
Why are there lids?
As he tilted his head to examine it closely.
It's an ancient design, the mayor replied. Long ago the roofs were made of thatch instead of shingles, and were usually rife with bugs of every sort. Food was kept covered to keep bugs and less savoury things from dropping in.
Karvik chortled.
Remember that inn down in Luxandia?
The inn where the beetle dropped into my stew? Varric asked. I remember it very well.
The mayor smiled, then turned away. As soon as she did, Karvik sipped his beer.
Not bad. Not bad at all, was all he said.
Stephen reached over and took Karvik's beer, then took a drink.
It's like that Andarian beer we had a few years ago.
Everyone was enjoying their beer or wine, so Stephen relaxed. Karvik nodded his approval and leaned back.
This is nice.
Stephen nodded and leaned back as well.
Indeed. When the mayor comes back, I'll ask about supplies.
The mayor came by with her husband in tow.
Prince Stephen, what can we prepare for you?
Stephen asked.
What do you have that's already prepared?
Nothing fit to serve to a prince, Norbert replied. Begging your pardon, Prince Stephen.
Karvik said,
We are mostly warriors, and the few chosen among us are getting used to common food.
Sergeant Zelfordan smiled at Norbert as he said,
It's taken some getting used to, but we've adapted.
Norbert still looked unsure, but the mayor bowed and said,
We always have a big pot of stew of some kind on the fire. Currently it is goat.
That sounds good, Stephen replied as he looked around. Varric nodded.
Bread and butter?
Of course,
the mayor replied.
For all of us, then. Or at least the 4 of us, Karvik said, then added, If you have anything else, the men can order what they want. Just please, don't go to any trouble on our account.
The mayor was looking stunned, but her husband was nodding.
That matches the stories I've heard about Stephen, dragon blessed.
The mayor and her husband withdrew, and returned in moments with a tray laden with bowls of stew and a trencher loaded with bread. Their daughters were serving the guardsmen at the same time. The stew was thick and smelled wonderful, and both the mayor and her husband hovered close by, waiting for Stephen's approval. When Karvik was the only one to eat, they looked concerned, then insulted when he passed his bowl to Stephen.
"Prince Stephen, I assure you,"
Norbert began, but Sergeant Zelfordan stood and bowed to stop him.
"Innkeeper Zelbeardan, we mean no insult. King Keelin ordered Major Kulkarin to test everything Prince Stephen eats or drinks, even water from a stream. He has the food taster spells on him for that purpose. Even in the palace in Rhi his food was tested, and Prince Stephen can't countermand those orders."
"Name yourself," Norbert demanded in a haughty tone.
The sergeant stood straight and bowed slightly before saying,
"I am Avalyn."